प्रेम श्री गौर श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्तिविंद की जय श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण गौर गोपीनाथ शालुकंद राधाकंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय मथुर धाम की जय रावजी मायापुर धाम की जय जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंगा जून देवी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी महारानी की जय समवेत भक्तिविंद की जय गौर प्रणंद All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namaste Saraswati Devi and Gaura Vani Pacharani. Namaste Sushumkari Paskachaka Satyana. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutaha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaraganatam Vitam Samsajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lamita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Panchakalpa Trivishcha Kipasim Devi Chakritam Pavane Vyavajra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya In Chapati in Mumbai, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 13, the Hamsa Avatar Answers Questions, Text 19. Samam Vachintaya Deva
Samam Vachintaya Deva
Vashnapara Titirshaya
Vashnapara Titirshaya
Tasyam Hamsa Rubena
Tasyam Hamsa Rubena
Sapasham Magamam Tada
He, Lord Brahma.
Mam.
Me.
Achintayat.
Remembered.
Devaha.
The original demigod.
Prashna.
Of the question.
Para.
The end conclusion.
The answer.
Titirshaya.
With a desire to attain understand.
Tasya,
unto him,
aham, I,
Hamsa Rupena,
in my form of Hamsa,
Sakasham,
visible,
Agamam,
he came,
Tada,
at that time.
EBT translation and purport.
Lord Brahma desired to attain the answer to the question that was puzzling him, and thus he fixed his mind on me, the Supreme Lord. At that time, in my form of Hamsa, I became visible to Lord Brahma. Purport. Hamsa means swan, and the specific ability of the swan is to separate a mixture of milk and water, extracting the rich, milky portion. Similarly, Lord Krishna appeared as Hamsa, or the swan, in order to separate the pure consciousness of Lord Brahma from the modes of material nature.
Samam Achintaya Deva Prashna Pada Titirshaya Tasyaham Hamsa Rupena Sakasham Agamam Tada.
Lord Brahma desired to obtain the answer to the question that was puzzling him, and thus he fixed his mind on me, the Supreme Lord. At that time, in my form of Hamsa, I became visible to Lord Brahma.
So this is a very, as was pointed out in yesterday's purport, it's a very strange situation because Lord Brahma was benedicted not to become bewildered. But he's bewildered. And the question is a bewildering one. And that is, how
do we have higher consciousness when we are absorbed in the world? The question is, when the senses and the sense objects are interacting, and that is a whole other topic of Sankhya, how do the senses and the sense objects interact? What's the relationship between the sense objects, the mind, the brain, the soul? That is the topic in modern times of what's called philosophy of science. So, in this very complicated understanding of the relationship between the senses and the mind and the sense objects, how can we have higher consciousness? Now, this is the question. And it's interesting that Lord Brahma was bewildered by this question, because he is supposed to be an exemplar of a person who is doing this, who is creating the universe, who is managing the universe, but who is not affected by the universe, who is in higher consciousness. So surely he must know how he is doing what he is doing. Huh? Of course, sometimes if we become very expert at doing something, we no longer know how we are doing it. Isn't it? This is a problem in education. So, as Prabhu mentioned, so I wrote a literacy program to teach children how to read English. And it was a big controversy, still is somewhat of a controversy, how to teach reading. Should you teach the children to make the sounds, you know, duh, ear, or do you just teach them to look at the word and recognize it? Because when we are an expert reader, we are not thinking of the sounds of the letters. In fact, we are not even reading single words. We are reading whole phrases. We are reading 3 to 5 words at a time just by glance. And then because of our experience with the format of what we are reading and the language and so many things, our mind is anticipating the next phrase. While we are reading the current phrase, I'm giving you all a little education in literacy pedagogy here. And only if the next phrase does not meet our expectations do we kind of stop. So it was thought, well, expert readers read like this, therefore we should teach the children from the beginning to read like this. And it was a complete failure. You had to teach the children how to read by sounding out the letters. And the expert reader has to act as if they are a beginning reader. Like we say, the Uttam Bhakta has to act like the Majjhim Bhakta to preach. Not that they become a Majjhim Bhakta, actually. Like, not that the teacher who can read Shakespeare actually becomes like the 5-year-old. But they have to demonstrate it. The same with mathematics. I actually found this as a teacher much more difficult with mathematics. In mathematics, you just know the answer, but you don't know how you know the answer. Huh? And but for the children, you have to explain. This was Einstein's problem. He would just know the answer, and he had to get someone else to do the proofs. Or there was that South Indian mathematical genius. What was his name? Rabindranath? Yeah. He had the same problem. He could just understand. He said, by worshiping the Lord, and that is exactly what we're going to look at today, by worshiping the Lord, he would just know what was the answer. But the other mathematicians, they would say, where's your proofs? Where's your step by step by step? So many times, even if we are doing something, to explain to someone else how we are doing what we are doing, that is another art. You know, like my god-sister Yamuna, Prabhupada told her, if you do not teach cooking, you will become envious. You know that? Because if you are expert in something and you don't share, that means you want to be more expert than everybody else. You want to keep them in ignorance. Non-envy is you want everyone to be as good or better than you. But to teach, she had to write down the recipes that she just knew intuitively. And then she had to have other people. She had one expert cook and one beginning cook. They would experiment, try the recipes, and tell her, oh, this I don't understand, this I understand. So Lord Brahma, he has been told, you will not fall down. You will be able to can manage the world and stay in a higher consciousness. But when he is asked this question, how do you do that? He doesn't know how to answer. Of course, part of that reason is he is doing it by grace, isn't it? He is doing it by mercy. But this being able to interact in the world and still be fixed on self is what Krishna is asking of us in the Bhagavad Gita. When he says, Yam yam bhapi smaram bhavam tvaja chante kulegram tam tam eva tipantaya saratad bhava bhavita. So naturally we think, like Arjuna was thinking, oh, I should leave my family, I should leave my job, I should leave Mumbai, I should go to a cave in the Himalayas, or I should sit at the bank of Radhakund and just chant, right? And Arjuna was also thinking this. He's saying, I don't understand. You're telling me Buddha Yoga, you're telling me Karma Yoga. He says, Ekavada, just give me one instruction. You're giving me various instructions. Just tell me one thing. He says this at the beginning of chapter 3. Again, throughout the Gita, he's saying, I can't understand this. And right after Krishna says, Yam Yam Bhapi Sram Bhava, what is the next verse? 8-7, you know? Anybody know? You're all preaching in the city, you should know this. Right after, he says, whatever you think of me at the time of death, that's what you will get. So the next verse, he says, then leave everything and think of me. Is that correct? Not correct. What does he say? Ma anusmaram yujya cha. Imagine that. While you are fighting, think of me. Sometimes we get, I don't think, are any of us here in the military? Any military people here? Ah, were you actually in combat?
No.
You were in, now you are retired. But you were in combat previously.
Yes.
So do you think you could have been meditating on Krishna while you were fighting? Oh, that was very nice. Very nice. Here we have an exemplar of Bhagavad Gita. But it must be very difficult to fight. It must require a lot of focus, yes? Aha, but so it's not simultaneous. Yeah, it's consecutive. Just like I visited a school in, you all understand, simultaneous and consecutive, yeah? I visited a school in London, not a Hare Krishna school. What a nice school, oh my goodness. We should have Hare Krishna schools as nice as this school. It's put on by people called St. James. It's a mix of Christianity and Mayavad. Seriously, they're mixing Christ and Sankara. Very strange. But anyway, they're vegetarian and they teach Sanskrit, they teach the Vedas. I mean, what a nice school. Except Krishna's not there. But otherwise, so nice. So before every class, the students offer the class to the Paramatma, and at the end of every class, they offer the class to Paramatma. So that we can do consecutively, but Krishna is asking to do it simultaneously for a fighter. Now those of us who've not been in the military, maybe we have gotten in a verbal fight. Huh? How many of you in your life have been in a verbal fight? Almost everybody. It's very engaging, isn't it? Actually, for myself, I have decided that I should avoid verbal fights because I forget Krishna. As soon as I am in a verbal fight, even if it's philosophy, one time, I was with a group of devotees and we were having this talking about verbal philosophical fights. And one of the devotees, Shamakarishi, who runs our Oxford Hindu Center, he said, when we engage like this, we forget about the blue boy playing his flute. And I said, you know, you're right. when I get really wrapped up in some philosophical fight, even if it's about Shastra, I just forget about the little blue boy playing his flute. Like, completely. So I thought, I cannot do this. I cannot do this instruction of Krishna, Mam Anusmaram Yujicha. I find it very difficult. But this is what Krishna is asking for. And this is the question put before Lord Brahma. How do you do this? And my dear friends, if we can't figure out how to do this, we will never make the world Krishna conscious. There's a lot of discussion in our movement about how to spread Krishna consciousness to all the people of the world. Yes? And people say, well, maybe if we play guitars and serve pizza, but I say we already are serving pizza and playing guitars. It's already happening. So many people are wearing trousers. I said, that is not the problem. The problem is we don't teach people Mam Anusmaram Yujicha. We don't teach people how do you be in transcendental consciousness while you are interacting with the senses and the sense objects. How do you do this? What is the process? Because it seems to be, as the question was asked, that as soon as you're absorbed in interaction with the world, you forget Atman. You forget self and super self. So therefore, Hamsa Avatar has appeared in order to be just like a Hamsa, which here is translated as a swan. Prabhupada generally translates as swan, but our god brother Ravinda Swarup Prabhu did some research as to what is this Hamsa. He said actually it's a goose. You can look it up on the internet. He wrote a whole research about this Hamsa. Anyway, some kind of bird that has the ability to take milk from water. Somehow it can extract the essence of a thing. And in the same way, the Hamsa avatar can say, even in the world, how can you focus on Atma? How can you focus on the self? Indeed, we have this instruction by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Raghunath Das Goswami. Whatever you are doing in the world, always internally meditate on your service to the divine couple in Vrindavan. Same instruction. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in speaking to Ramananda Roy's family members after Gopinath Patanayaka got in trouble with the government, he also said, whether you are renunciates or whether you are dealing in money and the things of the world, you stay as my eternal servant. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says in that purport that Srila Prabhupada is quoting, that if we have the mentality of Krishna's servant, then whether we are a renunciate or whether we are doing seemingly great material activities in the world, we will not be affected. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that taking sannyas or working with money and the world are both external things. The solution is very simple. It simply needs to be practiced. But before we come to the solution, which we won't go into in depth today, because today is not about the solution, but I don't want to not say anything about it at all, otherwise you'll be, what's the solution? So how do we understand? What is the process? This verse is mostly about the process for understanding. Here, Lord Brahma, in order to understand, what does he do? He fixes his mind, achintaya. The chinta, the consciousness. He takes his consciousness and he fixes it upon the Lord. Because this is not something that one can understand by guesswork. I mean, this is also, as I was mentioning earlier, the main question in what is called in the world the philosophy of science. As part of my doctoral studies, I was required to take a course in philosophy of science. Because before you're allowed to do research, You have to study the philosophy behind research. And I was very fortunate that my teacher was a little liberal, and so I could often sit in the back unnoticed just studying the prayers of Narottama Das Thakur and Bhakti Vinod. But in that class, I could actually understand, oh, this is what Prabhupada means by mental speculation. I had always wondered, what does Prabhupada mean? And what were they speculating about? Who am I? What is the world? Is the world real? Is the world not real? How do I interact with the sense objects? Who is the I that is interacting? How are the sense objects touching the senses? Because you know, the sense objects don't touch the senses directly. You know that, right? Just like in a dream, you can dream that you are eating. I have dreamed that I was eating, yes? And when you dream you are eating, you are tasting the food like you are eating. But there's no food going in the mouth. So where is the sense perception happening? So they're all speculating on these things. And they are speculating, do we have free will or not? Are we an autonomous being? Who are we? And they just don't know. They have no idea. Simply thinking in circles and in circles and going nowhere. So trying to understand how I can function in this world without being attached or affected in this world, and how am I functioning simply by mental speculation. Even if you are a very big scientist, you may be a Nobel Prize winner in physics or whatever, biology, you will not understand. You know what the conclusion of that doctoral course was? We don't know. That was the conclusion. And they gave six reasons why we don't know anything. And then they said, okay, so your research will not show anything, it will not prove anything, we will not know anything, now go and research. Seriously. And I was thinking, you know, at the undergrad level, they say, science knows everything. To the children also, science knows everything. Undergrad, science knows everything. Masters, science knows everything. PhD level, we don't know anything. But don't tell anybody. And they write it in very high language, you know, very difficult language. So only other people at that level can understand, you know. It takes you like 4 hours to read 10 pages to understand what are they talking about. And their conclusion is, we have no idea. So even Lord Brahma with his foreheads, he cannot figure this out. One has to figure it out by fixing one's consciousness on the Supreme. Now, what is interesting about fixing one's consciousness on the Supreme is the process itself gives you the answer. Because the question is, how do I become absorbed in the Supreme in the world? In order to get the answer, you have to become absorbed in the Supreme in the world. So this is interesting. Like we say, the process and the goal are the same. So that this is the process to find the answer is given not only in our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition, but actually in every genuine religious and spiritual tradition in the world. So I was doing some research, I don't know if you're aware, but meditation has become very popular in the modern world, yes? Very, very popular. And just like kirtan became popular, but not by the Hare Krishna devotees, you know? We were very late to jump on the kirtan wagon in the world. Which is very sad. And we are now very, very late for the meditation trend in the world. I'd say we are hardly even involved in it. Meditation is being taught now in the big businesses and the schools everywhere. But it is being taught by Buddhists. You all know this? Yes? Becoming very popular. It's becoming so popular now that people think about meditation like they think about exercise, that everybody should do it. They're teaching even children. So I was considering writing something on Krishna conscious meditation. And so I was doing some research. And in this research, I was reading some of the top best-selling books by the Buddhists on meditation. And I was very surprised to find, first of all, that three-quarters of what they say is in the Bhagavad Gita. That was the first thing that surprised me. I'm like, this is all the Bhagavad Gita, except they come to an impersonal conclusion, but we could easily be teaching this. It's just Bhagavad Gita. And the other thing that surprised me is they gave exactly the same analogy that Srila Prabhupada gives of what to do when you're bewildered. So Srila Prabhupada says when you're bewildered, it's like a pond that has become very muddy. And you're not going to find the answer by stirring the pond. You find the answer by leaving the pond and you let the mud settle, and then the water is clear. So whenever we have some difficulty in our lives, we should stop and fix our mind on the Supreme. Instead of using our mind to try to jump everywhere and find the answer. Because even Lord Brahma cannot do this. And the biggest brains on our planet cannot do this. When we fix our mind on the Supreme, then the awareness of the Lord enters our mind. And the Lord is like the sunshine. In the sun there is no darkness. And we just understand. We simply understand. Here it's saying the appearance of the Lord gives one understanding, immediately answers our questions. I'm sure we've all had experience of this in our Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Probably most of us here have had this experience dozens or hundreds of times or thousands of times. We're confused, we're bewildered, we don't know the answer, we don't know how to move forward. We sit and we chant, we pray to the deity, we read the Shastra, we discuss the Shastra, we absorb ourselves in the Lord in some way or other. And then we just know, isn't it? We just know, it becomes completely clear. I like to tell this story, so actually it was the last time I was here at Chapadiya, 6-7 years ago. I was traveling with my oldest grandson, and also on that trip we went to Tirupati. So we went up to Tirumala early in the morning and it was very foggy. The windows, the car was very foggy and it was very difficult to see. But we were going to different places, and finally I realized there was no more fog outside, but the window was still foggy inside. So I said to the driver, please turn on the fan inside, on the window. So he would not turn it on. I think he was thinking it would use petrol to turn it on. And I said, no, no, not the AC, just the fan. But he refused. And I'm a little bit of an aggressive New Yorker, and I just said, you pull to the side and you do not go anywhere until you turn on the fan. I'm sure he was thinking, I will never take an American lady in my car again. But he turned on the fan, and then the back window was also foggy, and I could see it had wires. And I said, please push the button for the wires. No, broke it, he said. I didn't believe him, so I got out of the back seat and I opened the front door and I pushed the button myself. You know, it's a useful quality back in the 70s to go out to the airport and sell Prabhupada's books in the airport. I tried to use my nature in service. But anyway, so he turned on the wire and the back window also became clear. Because the fog outside was gone. So often we think the problem is external to us. We think the problem is, oh, I don't have enough money. This person is not treating me properly. You know, I have this disease. We're thinking the problem is something outside of ourselves. But the fog is inside the car. The fog is inside the car. Lord Brahma's prayers in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Prabhupada writing in Krishna book, he says, Maya exists only within the mind. As Krishna says in the Chatur Shloka, whatever appears to be of value, if it is without relation to me, it has no reality. Know it to be my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Maya is not a thing. It is a consciousness. It is a consciousness of seeing the world separate from the Lord, or seeing myself separate from the Lord. The problem is not interacting with the sense objects. The problem is seeing myself as a materialistic being and the sense objects as separate from Krishna. As seeing them as sense objects. That is the problem. Oh, that is an object. I am a material being, and that is an object for the satisfaction of my senses. Yes, it is a fact. When we are absorbed like that, we cannot see the Lord. But when we see the Lord, when we are aware of the Lord, when we fix our mind on the Lord, then we can understand, I am a spiritual being. Jivaraswara Bhaya Krishna Chitash. I am a spiritual being. And Krishna is everywhere. But we understand this, my dear friends, not through philosophy. That is a different yoga. That is canon yoga. The way that we see that I am a spiritual being and that everything, sarva kalam idam brahma, that everything is spiritual, is premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva vidayeshu vilokayanti yam shama santarma chintakama swarupa. Through attachment, maya shaktam anaparta, we're not fixing our mind on the Lord like the asanga yogis. They are doing this mechanically. It can be done mechanically. The body, human body, is designed that if you breathe a certain way, you sit a certain way, mechanically you can realize the self. But most people, this is a very difficult job. I was giving a class in America, Michigan, and in the audience there was one martial arts teacher, and when we were talking about Astanga Yoga, he said, this is like what I teach in martial arts. If you stand and have a certain posture and a certain breathing, a certain way of using the mind, you transcend the body. He said, but none of my students have the patience or the interest in learning the actual traditional martial arts process. He said, so I have to give them a baby version, or they'll not come to more than one class. But you give them a baby version, they will stay babies, isn't it? Yeah? So mechanical system, maybe 20, 30 people on the planet today can do this. And anyway, Krishna doesn't so much recommend it. Right? Yogi namapi sarvesham madgatenam tivatam shradhavam bhajutayam samayukta yuktasamayatam. And Arjuna's not even chanchalimana krishna. I don't think I can do this mechanically. So we're not fixing our mind mechanically. We're trying to fix our mind through attachment. We're trying to get attached to the deities. Not just, oh, this is some ritual, we come every day, go in the night, Krishna, I wonder what I'm going to do at 10 o'clock. What will they serve for lunch? Not like that. We're not like you have deities in your home and like, okay, they are my karma stamping out machine. I take my food, I put it in front of them, please take away the karma, thank you very much. No, it's one should be attached. One should see Gopinath, right? Gopinath. As a person. They're a person. Prabhupada said the deity is anxious to speak to you. But you're not listening. You don't want to talk to him. Talk to him. I always tell this story. I had some difficulty in the Vrindavan temple, something I thought was not right, and I tried to fix it for many years. All different levels of management never got fixed. So I don't know if you know my godbrother Burjan. Anyway, he was there, and I complained to him. And he said, but this is not your concern. I said, but it bothers me. He said, but you have gone to all the authorities. Nothing more you can do. I said, still bothers me. He said, then talk to Balaram. I'm like, what Balaram? He said, well, everybody's at Radhashyam's altar, but it's Krishna Balaram temple. I said, but why Balaram? He said, well, he's the older brother. So I went to Balaram. I said, Balaram, there's this problem in the temple. And I talked to all the management, and still it's not going away. You're here. Sarva Dharma Pranichaja. I'm surrendering to you. You're going to take care of this. And within a few months, it was taken care of without anything further on my part. So talk to the deity. Meditate on the deity as a person. There are people. The holy name is a person. The prasada we eat is a gift from a person. All the service we're doing, they're making the garlands. It's for a person. Get some attachment when we read. Prabhupada said if when we're chanting, we cannot remember Krishna's leelas, then our chanting is inattentive and is neglectful. Prabhupada defined neglectful, inattentive chanting as when we are chanting, we do not naturally remember Krishna's pastimes. I can read you the verse, the quote if you like. Actually, I don't have my phone with me. Get it for you. So this is the process of bhakti, Maya Shakta Manaparta. That is how we fix our mind on Krishna, with attachment. And that can be done by anyone. Even some strong-minded New York lady. Anybody. You don't have to be some, you know, Papa South Indian Brahmin for 35 generations. Right? Prabhupada says even a dog, even a child. Well, I like to tell this story also. We had the Gurukul children were playing hide and seek in our house, and my granddaughter, who was 3, she went up to the deities and she said, Gornitai, Gornitai, where is Mukunda hiding? Even a child can fix their mind on Krishna with attachment. Anyone. Prabhupada gave a talk on this verse, Maya Shakta Manaparta, in Sanand, India. And he said, we all know what is attachment, yes? Everybody knows. We are attached to our parents, to our spouse, to our children, to our computer, to our phone, to something. You know, we are attached. Become attached to Krishna. If I can become attached to another jiva. Everybody here has been attached to another jiva, I think, yes? At least your mother, your father. Yeah? An attachment to a jiva can be so strong. You know, a romantic attachment is very strong. People do really crazy things. Or attachment to a child also, very strong. And they're just a little part of Krishna. So Prabhupada said we already know how to be attached. We don't have to be, it's not something, how do I become attached to Krishna? And then we fix our mind on him, and then we understand. It's just really that simple. As Prabhupada said, simple for the simple. Of course, how to fix our mind on Krishna, we have to go to Shastra. You can't just make up your own process. Has to be Sadhu Shastra Guru, always. But it was interesting, I was just reading a conversation where Prabhupada said, if someone asks you, how do you know what you're doing is right? What will you say? Oh, I have heard from my guru. Prabhupada says, no, that is blind faith in guru. How do you know? If someone says, well, have you seen Krishna? Oh, we have read in the Shastra. Prabhupada said, that is blind faith. What is your experience? So it has to be based on guru sadhu shastra, not that you make up some experience. So many people making up, oh, I have had this experience. But we need to have Pratyaksha Bhagavan Dharma. We need to have an experience of Krishna. That should be our goal. That is the purpose of our chanting, purpose of our japa, our Gayatri, our puja, our study of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. is to realize that. And then automatically, as an extra perk, one understands. One should not even be worshiping Krishna to understand. One should be worshiping Krishna ultimately just to love Krishna. And naturally, Jnana and Vairagya occur as a side effect. So this is the beauty of bhakti. What the great scientists cannot understand, they cannot reach. Rupa Goswami says, although Brahma in deep samadhi, he still cannot see your toe tips. He says, but I heard of your mercy, so I am desiring this anyway. What the great scientists cannot understand with four heads, with four PhDs, with, 500 IQ, we can understand just by attentive chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. Questions, comments, additions, subtractions, corrections? Yes. Is there a mic? A wandering mic?
Hare Krishna. Thanks for the wonderful class. Just one question. You mentioned that, if you should, you're encouraged to speak to the deities and the deities are eager to speak back to us. So I'm trying to reconcile some knowledge which I've gathered from here and there, from teachers here and there. So where do we draw the line of not being a sahajiya and trying to speak to the deities? Because we're always advised to...
So sahajiyas, first of all, they don't follow the regular principles. They're not following Guru Sadhu Shastra. And second of all, they imitate a very high platform. And generally they choose to imitate the gopis. You don't find very many sahajiyas imitating the cowherd boys. Do you? No, or like Rakthakur. You don't see very many sahajiyas saying, yes, I am following in the footsteps of Rakthakur. So if you are not pretending to be a gopi, and if you are following the regular principles, then you are okay.
What I mean by maybe the terminology was wrong. What I mean by sahajiya is trying to take an easy path to the worship. Basically, we are asking
easy. Do you think having a sincere conversation with Krishna is easy?
No, I'm
okay, good.
Why
are you pretending? Why don't you have a genuine? Why are you having a fake conversation with
Krishna? That's what I'm trying to ask.
Why can't you be genuine?
That's what I'm trying to ask.
Aren't there things. Like you're having a genuine conversation with me, yeah?
Yes.
You're not faking, right?
No.
You're not pretending, right? But you can talk to him also.
My question is that if somebody will say that, oh, Krishna liked the dress which I gave, or Krishna liked the food which I made. So
that's another thing. But that you're saying what Krishna is answering you.
Yeah.
That's another thing. That's different. I'm talking about you can talk to him.
Okay.
You can talk to him. He will answer you, of course. He has ways of answering you.
Ways of answering. Can you elaborate on that? Ways of answering.
Yeah, of course. So I think everyone has experienced that Krishna has answered them, yes? Who has experienced that they've gotten an answer from Krishna? Oh, come on. Don't be shy. Who has experienced that Krishna has given you an answer to a question? So these are so many people you can ask. How does Krishna give you an answer? I can speak from my own experience and from the Shastra, but you can ask so many people. Sometimes he gives me an answer in a purport or a verse. I'm asking a question and I read something and it's like, oh! Or sometimes a lecture. I'm sitting in a class. I had one question many, many years ago. How many years ago? I think it was 2003 or 2004. So I had some question and I did research, I could not find the answer. And I was sitting in a class, it was Bhaktiji Swami was giving the class. He did not know I had this question at all. And he said something immediately, I had the answer to my question. Yes, does this happen to everybody? Some of you say Krishna never answered your question, so and you can have some concern. Immediately the answer was there. Sometimes it takes 15 years. I mean, I had one question, was 15 years before I got to answer. Or sometimes I'm listening to a recording of Prabhupada. I remember 2006, I also had a question. One devotee said something and I thought, this is not right, this is not correct. And I was very confused. Is his understanding correct or my understanding correct? It was a very deep thing that was really disturbing me. And then Prabhupada was giving a lecture. Immediately I got the answer. Sometimes you get the answer just in the heart manifest. That's also happened. Sometimes you just know the answer. You know it's Krishna. Sometimes an ordinary person on the street. Seriously. I mean, sometimes just somebody, you know, the shopkeeper says something. Oh! Krishna has given me the answer through this person. That also happens. So Krishna has so many ways. He's unlimited. I don't think you're going to hear a voice from the sky. Maybe. That would be very interesting. Of course, if I heard a voice from the sky, it would be saying, "You fool!" But anyway, so probably you will not hear a voice from the sky. And, you know, someday you will see Krishna eye to eye. I don't know if that will happen today. But he has so many ways. And he makes it very clear. When Krishna is giving you an answer, he makes it very clear. You know, without any doubt, that Krishna is answering. Yes. But you can talk sincerely to Krishna, of course. And if you're worried that what you say to Krishna will be improper, you can speak to him the authorized prayers. You can read to him the prayers. But do talk to him. I mean, when we are chanting Hare Krishna to the deity, we are talking to the deity. We're not just having fun making music. You understand? Actually, it's in the vocative. We're actually speaking. Hare Krishna, we're speaking to Krishna. So you are already talking to Krishna, actually. And don't be afraid. Oh no, I don't want to be a sahajiya. Well, who are you talking to when you are chanting Hare Krishna then? You understand? So, I mean, if you're smoking and drinking and pretending to be a gopi, that's a problem. But you're not doing that, right? That's no problem.
Thank you, Mataji, for the wonderful class.
We're ending now, yeah? Oh, you're asking a question or we're ending now? Do we have time for another question?
Yes.
Okay. Another question back there from the warrior. But he'll first and then we'll get the warrior. Yes.
So Mataji, during the start of the class you mentioned, you gave an example of you attending one of the school where it was not a Hare Krishna school and a Christianity mixed with Mayavadi and a wonderful school with Vedas and chanting.
It is a very wonderful
Sanskrit.
School.
So, if we have some authority in any of the schools or in some community where we can give the right direction to our children, so what are the few things which you can suggest that we can inculcate with our children, with the community children or with the school children?
This is too much at 9:19. If you want, you can come to Pune today. So I'll be teaching at the GBC College on this topic. And I'll be giving, I don't know if they broadcast, do they broadcast from Pune? No?
They record.
They record, and I'll record. So my class on 6th morning class in Pune will be on this topic. It will be the 12 principles of education from Prabhupada's lectures here in Mumbai. Where Prabhupada spoke about the Brahmachari Ashram for the adults and the Gurukul for the children combinedly. He was going back and forth. What are the principles of the Brahmachari Ashram and the principles of Gurukula? So I'll be giving a talk on that. But I gave a talk on that in Mayapur Dham many years ago. And that is still available online. The principles of education, so you can see that. Also on YouTube, I have a talk on the four keys of education that was recorded in Melbourne, and one on parenting from the Bhagavad Gita. So I have that available online. If I talk about it now, we will go at least another half an hour. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. And although I mentioned it in the class, it's a little off topic. Yes. Just speak. This needs to be the last question. Yes.
So thank you for from this wonderful talk. And maybe I just have two points or two things to clarify. Firstly, the answer you get from Krishna. So, it should be in conformity with the Shastra.
Absolutely.
The Shastra is authority. I cannot say that some answer is come and it is after my mental speculation. So, in case we are not knowing the Shastras completely or thoroughly.
Completely is a little difficult.
The thoroughly, I mean to say, you will not understand the Shastra, then should we check that answer with somebody who's.
Yes, sir, I was saying Sadhu Shastra Guru.
Who's conversant with the Shastras.
Correct. So therefore, whatever we think, whatever prayers I'm offering to Krishna, whatever answer I'm getting from Krishna must be in accord with the Guru Sadhu Shastra. Yes.
And the second point, as you have mentioned about meditation, and you're saying that Buddhists have, they're very listening to meditation, and three-fourths of it is Gita.
Yes, it is.
Ultimately, it's coming to impersonalism.
Yes.
As I understood, Buddhism is Shunya, it's zero, ultimately nothing.
Yes, that is true.
So then, this Buddhist meditation is primarily Shunya.
Ultimately.
So I think impersonal is Shankara.
You are right.
And then, in case of our meditation, like if we are meditating, what are we aware of when we are meditating? That I am Krishna's Das?
Krishna what?
Krishna's Das.
Yes, sounds like a very good idea.
So that awareness is all through?
All through?
Like you said, you need to meditate. If I'm doing japa, I need to meditate.
Correct.
We say that japa meditation.
Correct.
What's the meditation part there? Because what I heard, Prabhupada said, just listen.
That was secondary instruction. Prabhupada would say, when you are chanting, you feel the presence of Krishna. When you feel the presence of Krishna, you naturally remember his instructions in the Bhagavad Gita or his pastimes. And if you cannot do that, just listen.
Yes.
That was always the second tier, never the first.
So the first part is being aware of you being aware of Krishna.
Yes, Prabhupada would say, if you just hear, eventually you will be able to remember Krishna's form pastimes. But that is second best.
Thanks.
That is not the. If when you, and Prabhupada was saying, why are you reading Krishna book? He said, if you're reading Krishna book, naturally when you chant, you should remember Krishna's pastimes. He said, otherwise, your Krishna consciousness is defective, it is negligent, it is inattentive. So maybe you know the first month in Krishna consciousness, you don't know anything about Krishna. And therefore, when you chant Hare Krishna, you don't remember Krishna because you don't even know who is Krishna. How are you going to remember Krishna? So you just hear. But once you are reading about Krishna naturally, just like if you say, my mother, immediately you remember your mother. Yeah? If I say my mother, I remember her face, I remember her qualities, I remember her activities, isn't it? I don't have to do it artificially. I don't have to say, now I'm going to remember my mother. But I just do. Yeah? Correct? So that is the idea, that as soon as we say Hare Krishna, immediately we remember. Prabhupada said, like you're seeing the deity. He said, can't you remember the deity while you are chanting? But if you cannot do that, then just hear. Okay, I think we need to end. So thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.